Welcome to the 239th episode of News Dump, where we run through the hottest topics in the Lewis County news scene and discuss. I'm local man Aaron Van Tile, joined by Chronicle executive editor Eric Schwartz. We're also joined in spirit by sponsor Summit Funding, Shayless Outfitters, and The Roof Doctor. Any big preambles you wanna touch on?
No, I don't have a whole lot. You didn't even mic check me before this started.
Well, you know,
just assuming you can hear the rich tones of my baritone voice.
239. If the mics don't work once in a while, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, Juneteenth on Thursday, a celebration down at George Washington Park. I think it starts at 9:30 in the morning. Are you going to be there?
I don't know.
It's a first for me as far as a weekday morning like celebration like this.
Yeah.
Usually it's like a Saturday thing, but we'll be over there. We'll cover it.
Cool.
Tell you all about it since you don't respect the holiday. Don't plan to go.
It's a holiday for all of us.
Truly.
You know, state workers have the day off, and so I don't know what I'll be doing on Juneteenth.
And just to be clear, it's not a day off for all of us, just state workers at this
yeah,
point.
Not you, because you don't recognize the strife that resulted in that holiday.
The company does, but not in an unpaid holiday sort of way.
Oh, okay.
Or in a paid holiday sort of way, I should say.
The other preamble I have, Brady Culkins played at the U.S. Open. Didn't do as well as he would have liked, I'm sure, but nobody really did. That course was impossible. It was kind of awesome to watch the final round on Sunday.
Who ended up winning it?
J.J. Spawn?
I see. So kind of Brady Culkins' second U.S. Open, though, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's more U.S. Opens than I played in.
He did decline the Chronicle's request for an interview after his interview in the Spokesman Review.
Yeah, he did.
Which is fine. We're not salty about it or anything.
But yeah. Yeah. All right. The other preamble I had, I don't have a news item on this, but filing week, did filing occur?
I mean, like 3 weeks ago. Yeah.
Well, I just saw there's
welcome to the party, sir.
Some big announcements. I saw somebody entered the sheriff's race.
You saw one specific big announcement. There weren't any others. Tracy Murphy has filed to run for sheriff again. He ran in 2022, fell to incumbent Rob Snaza, who a lot of people think isn't going to run again.
What would give you that idea?
Filing week will occur in like the May before the election, and this is a 2026 race, so no one will actually file for the position until then. But Tracy Murphy, a 30-year veteran of the Centralia Police Department, head of JNET, did file his paperwork with the Public Disclosure Commission, indicating that he will be running for sheriff next year. And we did get an interview with him today, we being Jacob Moore, our government reporter. So we'll have something in the Thursday edition with a little bit more than what we had in the Facebook post, which was just to say he is running again.
Okay, good. News items. First up, Democrats host No Kings protest in Centralia. I know you love a good protest.
Hey, wait. How are we going to discuss this when you and I are both kings?
Yeah. That's true. What about these kings? I wish we had a "you drop this king" soundbite that somehow described like a crown landing upon the ground.
Mm-hmm. But
now I know you love a good protest and like nothing more than stirring that old social media pot with dozens of inflammatory posts about any kind of demonstration, legal or not.
Not true.
Pornographic or not.
That's not true. I've only posted porn once, and it was an accident in my entire 20 years here. And we took it down promptly 3 hours later.
The local version seemed pretty peaceful, and whilst I did not attend, I am on board. We have a system of checks and balances, and it really feels like the current administration is happy to ignore them. There was a quote from Robert Tweed, who was at the protest? Or is it just a rally?
I mean, I'd call it a protest. It was a protest.
Robert Tweed said, you know, I've lived here for a few years now. When there's a protest going on, there's 40 or 50 people out here or less. That's kind of what we thought coming into this today. I had thought about going to Olympia, the Capitol. But when we pulled up here, we were like, I say, pleasantly surprised. Gives me some hope that there is some humanity left in Lewis County. Sick burn on Lewis County. Kind of like where his head's at. There's a lot of people with huge "We the People" stickers in their trucks have forgotten which document they cribbed that line from. Meanwhile, in the other Washington, the Yes Kings parade was sparsely attended and looked pretty depressing for everyone involved.
Thoughts? Yeah, I watched a good bit of the, we'll touch on the national first, on the 250th Army birthday. parade. And yeah, it was a lot more reserved than I thought it would be. I'll be honest.
Kind of looked like a bunch of people who didn't want to be there.
I mean, I don't know.
And
the
I
troops
say
looked
that
happy.
To include the significant other of the man who was celebrating his birthday, who looked quite unpleased.
He wasn't celebrating his birthday, I don't think. Anyways, this isn't about
what,
that.
What?
The No Kings protest in downtown Centralia, estimates anywhere from 300 to 400 people. From the people that were there, we didn't do a head count or anything. Our reporting doesn't have any names or anything like that. But to your point, I do like a good protest, and we do cover protests regularly. They just happen to be, much of the time, it's conservatives protesting something. I think we did pretty robust coverage of all of the measures that Republicans put forward this year. You know, up at the Capitol, I think we were there 3 times. The medical freedom rallies during the pandemic,
oh,
we were at a
forget?
Lot of those. Spiffies, etc. I mean, pretty much anytime there's been a protest, but never have I received so much blowback than covering the Democrats in downtown Centralia. I think I shared with you, I had one email this morning that said, if you share one more No Kings protest from downtown Centralia, then you will lose this 30-year subscriber. Before I could even respond to the email, I had a scheduled post about the No Kings thing, so I'm pretty sure we lost that subscriber. And I really don't understand it. I don't understand it when we get criticism from the other side either. I don't get the idea of seeing people who think differently from you and being angry about it. I don't get that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's certain issues where if somebody is thinking different from me, then I will be upset.
Sure. No, but I mean, like, if it's a solid, you know, we're very unhappy with the Democrat in charge, which it was all through the pandemic. And, you know, even today, I'd say, and maybe not protest wise, but you've got, you know, bashing Inslee, bashing Ferguson, you're fine with that, but you're not okay with the other side having a problem with a executive at the federal level. I don't know. And it, again, it's not everybody, and but the reaction to it, as far as my email inbox goes, has been a bit more angry than usual.
Yeah, well,
one in particular said, "Why didn't you cover the 250th anniversary of the Army or birthday
question.
Of the Army?" And you
Why
covered
weren't
this
you there?
Is because that was not in downtown Centralia. That I explained. When you have hundreds of people protesting something in the heart of your largest city, if you don't cover it, you're really not doing your job as
well.
A
you
local
should have
newspaper.
Been in D.C. personally.
No, I was not
marching.
I did watch.
The soldiers.
I did watch it though. I did watch it.
Next item, over $3,700 raised during the 16th annual Seattle Children's Hospital Walmart Benefit Car Show. They need to trim that name down. That's too long. In Chehalis. I saw the pics from this pop up in Slack, and the first one was a local DeLorean, and I thought Owen just saw a DeLorean and started taking pictures. And you know what? I would have too. DeLoreans are sick.
Yeah, they are cool.
And then I read the story, and Owen actually did write a section of the story just about a DeLorean being there.
Yeah.
It was a good story, owned by Lorena Tanaka. She bought it from the original owner. And I'm pretty sure that one has been in town for quite a while.
Oh, so it's not cool to you because it's been around? You've seen it before?
No, it's
Owen
cooler
should
because
just ignored it and moved on.
It's cooler because it has been around for a while.
Mad
I was like,
that
oh, that was the one that.
Feature your Mazda Miata?
I don't drive a Miata,
oh,
sir.
Oh, it's parked out back right now.
But my question is, what is your favorite movie car of all time? And you can't say the General Lee again.
I didn't say the General Lee to begin with. I never watched that show. Favorite car in all of cinema, TV, everything?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know.
A car that's appeared on screen that you're like, you know what? I wish I was driving that.
It'd probably be the DeLorean. I mean, you can't go past a time travel.
Yeah.
Vessel.
Well, I mean, the DeLorean doesn't actually travel through time.
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, the little mini car that Steve Urkel has in Family Matters popped into my head right away. That says something.
I thought you'd go Michael Scott's Chrysler Sebring.
Oh, yeah, that's probably it.
It's a pretty hot car.
it's totally impractical for Scranton.
For this climate.
But, it is a sick car. And, yeah, you were a Sebring enthusiast for a while as well.
Yeah, I did.
It's a great car.
Mine would be Burt Reynolds' Trans Am from Smokey and the Bandit.
I mean, that's
pretty
good
car. But a close second is pretty much any Porsche 911 that shows up on screen.
Okay. Keep working hard. Maybe you'll get yourself one of those. Get yourself out of that Miata, that rose-colored Miata.
What a
with the truck nuts.
That's part of it. Oh, sorry. Excuse me.
To bring Luda into this.
You know what? Oh, you recognize Luda so quickly. Well, that brings us to our next news item. Centralia Fantasy Festival to return for the third year. Hell yeah. Come on, freaks. Let's get weird.
You make it so good, I don't want to leave, but I gotta know what's your
favorite song.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of want to.
I think it's a little
just nasty the horniest
there.
Man in hip hop.
This year's, he's just the best. This year's theme is fantasy in nature. I'll let your imagination run wild about that one. And includes fairies, dragons, goblins, and classic fairy tales all woven into a nature-inspired setting. It's going on July 12th and 13th at the fairgrounds. There will be live performers like Sword Swallower, Fingal Bonzi, themed vendors, food trucks, interactive experiences, and more. And I just want to make sure this is the one that a certain county commissioner made change their sign because it provoked impure thoughts, right?
We have no reporting to that effect. There was Facebook comment to that effect, though.
Made the people too horny in his mind.
Well, you know, depends on what your fantasy is.
Well, we could go back to the song if you'd like.
If somebody should be gate checking fantasies at the door, make sure things don't get too out of hand. You recently watched Lord of the Rings. You thinking about going in character? And if so, which character?
Because
you're clearly a Pippin.
Which one's Pippin?
Screwing stuff up all the time.
Which one is Pippin? One of the short guys?
Yeah, he's
the
one of the hobbits. Kings? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Until you mentioned that, I completely forgot that I watched Lord of the Rings.
Kind of a Pippin.
I would go, like, I would dress as King Kong or something.
Yeah, maybe like the grumpy innkeeper.
Sure. Shrek, maybe?
Yeah.
I've kind of got some Shrek vibes, you know.
Shrek's not part of Lord of the Rings universe. I don't know what led you to believe that.
It doesn't have to be Lord of the Rings to go to the fantasy. You can just do anything.
Okay.
It's whatever your fantasy is.
Well, I don't think they can handle it there. I think that there are some height restrictions inside those buildings, sir.
I don't even know what you're getting at there, you pervert. You're the reason they changed the sign. Next item, Shattered Peace. Local historian's second novel explores the uncertain history of the Centralia tragedy of 1919. Are we calling it the Centralia tragedy now?
Yeah, it's kind of made that move ever since we got accused of using a slur on par. This is a quote with the N-word for saying Centralia massacre because it implies that one side did the massacring. And that history, as Julie McDonald has written many times, is unsettled and no one really knows exactly what happens. I don't believe in the inward comparison like the caller who told us that. But it seems like
Did the caller say the M word when they...
No.
Did they refer to it as the M word?
They didn't say massacre, no.
They didn't say massacre. No. Interesting.
Okay. But yeah, I learned not so long ago, probably like a year ago, there's another Centralia massacre that occurred in a different Centralia.
Was it in Centralia, Pennsylvania?
I think it was Illinois, but I'm not sure off the top of my head. Anyways, I read an article in the Smithsonian that mashed the two together because the author clearly didn't know that there were two, so they were pulling elements from both. Mm-hmm. And anyways, Centralia tragedy, yes, that's what we're calling it.
Well, Julia McDonald Zander is going back to that local well for her second novel. She's cranking these out at a pretty good pace now. The incident involved a violent clash between the IWW and the Legionnaires. It resulted in four Legionnaires being killed, one member of an ensuing posse being killed by friendly fire, allegedly. One IWW member being lynched and eight more charged with murder. To this day, Legionnaires claim the IWW opened fire first, while IWW members, also known as Wobblies, maintain they only fired once the attack on their Union Hall began. Historians, Zander said, quote, don't know 100% for sure what happened, but surely the shit-spewing pigs at the local fish wrap have an unbiased record of the goings-on of that fateful day, right? Not complicit at all.
Oh, no. I freely admit that some errors were made in our reporting in 1919, many decades before my birth. Not to throw anyone under the bus from way back then, but yeah, there didn't seem to be like a real attempt at gathering the facts, more so like making sure everyone had been worked to a froth.
Yeah.
It actually made one of our letters to the editor this week. It was from Dennis Shane.
Prolific letter writer.
Yeah, and I'll just get it out of the way before we get to Tales from the Takes. He wrote, we have prepared the deterrent effect, and he was more writing about how the Trump administration, in his view, is trying to overcome the justice system with just too much. And anyways, he he ended it with, "Well, now a casual comment from our local airwave somewhat sympathizing with vigilante behavior brings to mind a Chronicle editorial the day after the 1919 Armistice Day lynching." Another title you could give it.
Yeah.
The subject was so well expressed that it resulted in an immersive monument to those that gave their lives for an efficient system of justice. Quote from the editorial from the Chronicle, "The episode of last night is but the natural result of a red-handed revolutionist getting his just resorts without loss of time or the painfully slow process of law. The man's guilt was unquestioned."
Bold.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus Christ.
Just something we haven't figured out all these years later, over 100 years later. This editorial writer had figured out overnight and was willing to tell you about it. And it was definitely the Wobblies' fault. Don't let anyone tell you any different.
The editorial writer who most certainly wasn't part of any of it.
I don't know. I had to tip my hat to Dennis Shane for that letter. Not many people are digging into the 1919 Chronicle archives to arm themselves when writing a letter to the editor.
He's doing his homework.
Yeah, he did. It was good. I mean, regardless of the point, I don't necessarily agree with his overall point, but it was a good letter. Good letter.
Next item, Port of Centralia 2024 financial report shows all-time high operating revenues. The port cracked $1 million in revenue for the first time last year. The Heaton haters are furious.
They're upset.
Do you think Heaton just rolled out like, you know, fanning hundreds out into the crowd, being like, we did it?
No, I don't think he would celebrate something like that. This is just a news brief, mind you, from Dylan Reuben King covering his first Port of Centralia meetings on his beat now.
It sounds really big, and then you read the math of it all, and it's like, yeah, some things increased, some things decreased, but they did crack $1 million.
So they did open Winco this year, too, and I think the sales tax revenue from that over time in Centralia is something, regardless of how you feel about Kyle Heaton, you should be pretty happy about.
I still don't believe in Winco.
It's there. I eat there all the time.
Oh, you eat there?
Yes.
Does Burgerville know?
In the parking lot.
Does Burger King know you're cheating on her?
I don't make it to Burger King very often. Come on.
Do you think Burger King was upset by the No Kings protest?
It wasn't great for them. I don't think, though I did see like some of the protesters had the Burger King like hats going on. So
they probably went there first.
Yeah.
And then the last item I've got is just like this headline, Bucota resident John Wood appointed to vacant town council position. And I read it and thought, oh, we have a council for vacant towns now.
No, I should have done better on that headline. Nope. All due respect to John Wood, the new Bucota town councilor.
Yeah.
They're officially a town, not a city. I'm not really 100% sure what separates the two.
I've never thought about that.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to add, or should we hit it at the end?
We can hit it at the end.
Hi, this is Jeff and Julie from Fairway Lanes.
Jeff and I met Jacek of Summit Funding at our bowling center. So when we fell in love with this community and it was time to relocate, we knew we would be calling Summit Funding.
They understand that everyone has a unique situation when buying a home.
He had already helped two of our employees get into their own homes. The Summit Funding team exceeded our expectations. It was a seamless experience with great communication from his whole team.
Thank you to Summit Funding for making our buying experience special and memorable.
All right, we're back. It's time for segments. First up, Tales from the Takes page. And Wayne Fournier writes, the Quarry Pool Mysteries and what they teach us about local lore. And my question on this was, do you think kids ever sneak into the Quarry Pool to party?
It'd be kind of hard to. It's like right there on the edge of town. It's kind of exposed, but I'm sure people have snuck into it. We could ask Wayne that if next time we have him on.
Yeah, but kids love drinking in quarries, you know? That's like a rite of passage for America.
But this quarry is right in town.
Kids also love drinking in pools.
Yeah.
It's got everything you'd want.
I mean, kids are drinking less these days, Aaron. I know that's disheartening to you.
It is disheartening. It's disheartening to you as well.
I've read about bars struggling because the young people just don't want to come in and drink anymore.
What do they do instead? Sit at home and...
Probably healthier things.
No, I don't think so.
Probably strengthen their interpersonal relationships and building skill sets.
Almost certainly don't do that. They'd sit at home and watch Twitch streams of...
Yeah, you sounded old right now. You're sounding like you should be on a park bench just weakly saying, kids, kids, man, the kids.
I don't have a park bench. We just had this podcast.
I wouldn't mind having a park bench. Be nice.
All right, next item.
Hey, it should have been a preamble, but did you do anything fun for Father's Day?
Ty and I went to Taco Del Rey, and I finally had the molcajete.
What is that?
It's like a stone cauldron full of meat and sauce. Nice.
I've seen those before.
Yeah.
Was it good?
It was pretty good. Although I got to say, it's kind of a pain in the ass to eat. The stone's extremely hot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of meat in there.
I saw one of those at Don Juan's in Tenino, one of the top local Mexican eateries.
Very good Mexican place.
Yeah. Okay. That's fun.
Yeah. That's what I did. Ty got me a nice framed picture of me and him. It was great.
Oh, that's nice.
What did you do?
We went to downtown to Centralia to support local, like you.
Uh-huh.
We went to Insert Coin, spent a bunch of money there. That was a lot of fun. And then went down to the frozen yogurt place, Holly's, over by the Fox Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could call it a very basic Father's Day.
Well, you know, that's fine. You're a very basic father.
I got some new jeans. They were too baggy. Wow. I got some new socks. Kids wrote me notes about what they were thankful for, which made me feel maybe not like the best dad. One of them was like, "You introduced me to Star Wars."
It was 10 years ago.
I mean, you're going to find that eventually. No, it was good. Anyways, do anything nice for Steve?
No, I need to. Ouch, you know, I didn't have anything. I talked to him. And
you just don't love your dad? Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, well, if he ever listens to this podcast, which I don't know, I'm still checking my email since the time he sidled up to me at the wedding over a year ago.
Wedding, yeah.
And just all he said was, "Keep an eye on your email." That was it.
Maybe he just knows how bad you are at checking your email.
I thought there was a tip coming. There wasn't. Anyways, happy Father's Day, Aaron.
Yeah, happy Father's Day.
I enjoy raising our child together.
It's just because he's in here. It's time for you to go live with your uncle, Schwartz, at the newsroom.
You're going to be so mad if he comes home. Well, Unc told me that I need to do this. Who?
I did like that he saw he was proofing pages.
This is our intern, your son.
Yes. I do like that he saw a photo without a border on one of the proofing pages and loudly called it out.
He wrote in the margins, "Dad says this needs a border."
He's correct.
He was correct. And it saved it. It was a lazy man, too. Those borders don't go unnoticed.
Those are big borders.
Yeah.
All right. Next item. John McCroskey.
Oh, boy.
The good guys don't burn cars, harm cops, block streets, and wave foreign flags. Oh, he's writing about January 6th. Finally.
Okay, I will give you that. How is that not rising to the surface more? I've heard it mentioned here or there, but when we talk about insurrections, quote unquote, in Los Angeles that require the military there, even though the governor didn't ask, it is January 6th behavior. Like, it's the same stuff. Like, I don't understand that at all. It's like January 6th behavior, but it's not in, you know, the heart of our democracy and
during a transition
capital,
of power.
During the transition of power. I have a hard time with that, too. You know, I trail a little more conservative than you, but I can't wrap my head around January 6th and, like, the retelling of the history. Like, we all saw it, man. It was on TV.
Yeah.
It was live.
It was on every channel.
And then it's like all these years later, you're just getting told you didn't actually see that.
Actually, it was fun.
It was nothing. It was the FBI. Anyways, you know you can get me on a rant anytime you mention January 6th. What an abomination.
All right. So actually, McCroskey starts in on the county's failed, quote, "not a sanctuary county" proclamation. And I agree with him. His take was like, "This is pointless. What are you talking about?"
Yeah.
I agree. And then he goes in on the immigrants from his piece. Quote, "So millions came, were unvetted, not medically screened or vaccinated, and many received benefits they are not entitled to. Some are very bad people, and even those deportations are opposed, with the tragic results splashed over the news far too frequently. I don't think anyone's opposed to deporting murderers, which every president for the last few decades has been doing. But I'm sure John is familiar with due process and fully understands the Constitution, right?" Did he have a job where due process
was
involved?
The sheriff of this county from 1995 to 2005.
So he should understand that there's due process.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
He should.
From the column, "Recently, enforcement of federal laws led to riots, not peaceful protests, in Seattle, Portland, Los Angeles, and everywhere by those elsewhere by those upset by new federal policies. There's been a lot of violence on display, which isn't good for anybody, with some promising to stop rioting only if the feds stop enforcing the law." There's rioting in Seattle?
I mean, there were some fireworks exploded and some unruliness in the streets. I don't know if I'd call it a riot.
Portland?
There is certainly, yeah.
Rioting? I feel like they'll just call anything a riot
currently
these days.
Or what do you consider a riot?
And there's evidence some protesters are being paid to be there. If there was any evidence of this whatsoever, the president would be broadcasting it on state-sponsored television. John's familiar with the channel. It's where he got the second half of this column. Every hour on the hour.
I think it has been, actually. There's like some Craigslist posts. Yes, there was some Craigslist posts. But even I saw it was Jim Walsh sharing it. And even Jim Walsh sharing it, he said, who knows if this is legit. But paid protesters is not an unheard of thing. I don't want to sound like I'm going in with John on this, because I'm really not. But I feel like sometimes you pretend there's absolutely no evidence where your argument would be stronger that there's no evidence that it's widespread.
There's no evidence.
Like, it's the same trap as the election fraud thing.
Like, there isn't evidence. There is a hint.
There is.
There is maybe a Craigslist post, maybe.
Yeah, stuff of that nature, which is evidence.
That's like me saying everybody that was at the president's birthday parade was paid to be there.
I'm trying to help you, sir. I'm trying to help you by saying, if you just note, there is limited evidence. But to say that there isn't, then people who have seen that, like myself, are like, well, I mean, there's a little bit. And then there's like a wrinkle in your argument, and then you got to go from there. Overall, though, continue. I'm sorry.
Anyway, he continues on with another batch of crap to get to his requisite 600 words, and it all goes downhill from there. How do you think McCroskey felt writing a column with the headline, "The good guys don't burn cars, harm cops, block streets, and wave foreign flags," as if only one side is doing bad things, on the same weekend two Democratic representatives in Minnesota were murdered?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair take.
I would like to see him follow up on that, but I don't think that made Fox News, so we will never know.
You and McCroskey are very similar to the callers I mentioned earlier in the downtown trade. Like, it's like Democrats have take, certain segment angry. You're like, McCroskey has take, I'm angry.
No, I agreed with the first part.
I don't think
it.
It's a nefarious take. I think it's like it's something a lot of people believe. A lot of people do believe millions of people came in unvetted, because they did. Like, there are downsides to it. I just feel like when people come in so hard, you're like absolutist about this, there's no way to actually have a conversation about it. Like, obviously don't agree with John McCroskey about everything in here.
I would agree. I would be more open to listening to him if he didn't spout off such things that are easily like, that he is clearly blowing entirely out of proportion. And Seattle's rioting. Portland's rioting. Yeah. The entire West Coast is rioting right now.
I 100% agree with that. The rioting thing is like semantics, I guess. Like, the No Kings rally in Seattle, there was no rioting, right? There 70,000 people marched through.
Brandi Cruz had to go to a second site.
She had to go find the Antifa people at the ice thing. She did, though. They were there.
And they threw water on her.
They did.
And like the Wicked Witch of the West, she crumbled.
You know, I reading that every single time when they say threw water on her, I'm like, we're really assuming that's H2O. You know, liquid is probably the better word to choose there. Do you consider it a riot if, like, a street that's not supposed to be closed down is closed down and people are blowing up fireworks and setting dumpsters on fire? Because
there
would be riots. I'm doing my air quotes. But then I'd say riots.
You have to, like, if you call everything a riot, then you have to call then you have to call all the protests at the Capitol riots.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you there. That actually has been, for January 6th, like, call it an insurrection, call it what? I've always called it just a riot in our reporting. It was a riot.
It was
but
a riot.
I get the insurrection angle as well.
I'm with you on that. I don't like. I considered it an insurrection because I think the goal was
right.
It was a poorly planned out goal, but the goal was to stop the transfer of power.
Right.
If they had been slightly better organized, then I think it would catch hold as it. But then again, we'd still be in the
same
place.
The argument on the right is that just an insurrectionist because you're trying to shut down a federal building or prevent them from doing their job, which in this case was ICE raids.
I don't think that's
No, I don't either. I'm just saying. Like, if people approach it with a little bit of flexibility, I think we probably agree.
I like his take that they're just upset by these new federal policies. The policies are illegal. That's what they're upset about.
Well, like the LA protest, I watched a lot of that with my kid because that's a healthy thing to do with a 10-year-old on a Saturday. And it started last weekend. I actually was like, oh man, why are the feds like? They started pushing the protesters. They weren't doing anything. They're on the sidewalk, pushing them into the street.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I don't really like that. But then like 10 minutes later, cars start getting set on fire on the street. I'm like, well, I don't like that either.
Well, I hate to do a, who started it, but...
No, I don't, I don't mean to do that either.
It's like LA is pretty used to protesting.
And oh, yeah.
Also,
yeah.
And they're also pretty good rioting.
At it.
Yes.
Yeah, they're pretty good at it.
Anyway, I don't know. It's McCroskey.
Has there been a Lewis County... news take on this? I mean, news with a K.
There was a pretty good one, actually.
Okay, because they've had a pretty good unbroken streak of a few weeks of, like, really fast responses to McCrossie's takes. It's been impressive.
Let me see if I can pull it up. It was residents across Lewis County reportedly, local patriots horrified to discover First Amendment applies to other people, too.
Oh, that's not bad.
Those are pretty good, I thought.
They've been doing work on the satire front. I'm still Herald man, but
I enjoy the Herald too. I really like what Lewis County Canoes is up to.
We have to call it Lewis County Canoes to know what we're talking about. Yeah. I'm glad you're there. They had a pretty, I was entertained by it, the JJ's to go piece.
I also enjoyed that.
Yeah, I mean, it was good writing, as I wrote you. The writer has chops.
I wanted to use the meme of like the guy with the ink and quill pen that's on fire as he's writing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
just couldn't find it.
The LC Canoes was on one here.
Still not convinced that you are not the Lewis County Canoes.
Simply just for the record. Time.
Oh, please. Please.
Do you know how much golf I play?
I know. You have the time. It's not allocated properly. Still on Tales from the Takes. Julie McDonald had more thoughts on the Uncle Sam billboard. Is that in your notes?
I don't have that on there. I figured we'd get to it. What's her updated take?
Well, she had a take on it last week that basically, like, at least it's going back to the Shales people, and that upset Penny Mall, who called Julie, and then Julie hung up the phone, turned around, fired up her laptop, and immediately wrote a column that led with how she heard from Penny Mall after the fact, and they didn't like it. Just basically the insinuation that somehow the Hamilton family had taken land from the tribes is the takeaway that some people got, I suppose. So she wrote, Julie, William A. Hamilton from Wise County, Virginia, traveled west by train in 1903 with his ailing wife, Margaret, and 9 sons and daughter to establish a home and life in the Whatcom Valley. Nearly 8 years ago, I wrote several columns about the rich legacy of the Hamilton family in Lewis County, which includes ownership of the sign and by the freeway. But the fact remains that at one time, before the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock, before the British, French, and Spanish explorers ventured into North America, Native Americans claimed this land as their own. Sometimes they fought, but the battles were between Native Americans. And
yeah, people had all kinds of takes about
that. They didn't love the follow-up either, but Julie's stuff has been extremely well-read the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, she's getting her takes off.
People either enjoy her takes or just really enjoy clicking on them.
Any other Tales from the Takes page stuff we need to hit?
No, nothing that we really need to hit.
New segment, History Should Repeat Itself. I guess this segment's not new. And for this time, it's, well, maybe it shouldn't repeat itself. This is from the 60s
still
or something.
Got the new segment smell, though.
And this item, low alcohol level beer, commonly known as near beer, was expected to become available in Washington again after being absent from the market for years. Good riddance, Chronicle reported. The Liquor Control Board recently approved an application submitted by notable doucher J. Human Brewing Company, Inc. in St. Paul, Minnesota, which authorizes importation and sale of that company's Schmidt Select brand of near beer. To qualify as near beer, the product's alcohol content may not exceed 0.5% by volume.
Did you just scan the look backs in time to find the alcohol-related items and bring
you
them
know,
forward?
You know, you always manage to put them in the headline.
Oh, so no, that's Owen. That's Owen, because we had the guy in the Napa Vine Frosties last week. I feel before that it was the Whiskey Club, and then here we are now with the near beer.
Yeah, well, you know what? Owen knows what I like.
Chronicle, the old school writers knew what you liked.
They did.
Just this one was alcohol reporting.
This one wasn't as flowery as some of the old ones we found.
It's the 60s.
Yeah. Yeah. You had to calm things down, you know.
Everybody downstairs was just smoking dubs.
Smoking dubs, doing free love on the weekends.
Yeah.
Going to swingers parties, wearing tie-dyed shirts, smoking reefer. All right. That's, People's Champion of the Week. I've got the Ford's Prairie Elementary student who earned the Noah Markstrom Award.
Yeah, that's a good one.
His name is Deegan Tubbs. He's a fourth grader, and he was honored during an end-of-year assembly on Monday morning.
He is the brother, and so we should say the award is named after Noah Markstrom, former Ford's Prairie student, died at the age of 6 from brain cancer in November 2019. And each year his parents choose a fourth grader. They take nominations and select someone. As you said, this year they selected Deegan Tubbs. And a lot of times it's someone that's had to overcome some adversity. And unfortunately, in his case, his brother was the young man who died after being struck while skateboarding in Centralia last month. Mm-hmm. Lots of photos Dylan Reuben King ran over there. We try to cover it every year.
Cool.
Good yeah. stuff. I like that. That's a good hero of the week.
And then Centralia School District held years of service and retirement ceremony to honor longtime employees. There was quite a few of them.
Yeah, the intern did a good job on that one.
Retirees include Jan McCartney, Susan Rice, Cindy Grimm, Teresa Searle, Jamie Allwine, Delin Dietz, Carrie Kite Pocklington, that's Mrs. Bruce Pocklington, Janine Canini, Colleen Bridges, Maria Borovina, I'm probably butchering that name, Linda Betterman, Dan Gary, and Cheryl Bloom. So congrats to them. They are retired. My mother also retiring.
Congratulations to Carmen.
Yeah, she's earned it. She's put up with a lot over the years.
You sure to have her
mostly
party?
At home.
They already have their party?
No, her party is coming up. I'll give you the details.
You going to go? You want a plus one?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Come along.
I'd love to go.
Do you want to talk about the Roof Doctor?
Of course I want to talk about the Roof Doctor. That's the segue, though.
You know what? I was thinking the other day, I saw a Roof Doctor car, and I was like, I wonder why he didn't go with Dr. Roof. Actually, I saw another roofing business that was Mr. Roof.
Yeah, there's like, a lot of them. There also are other roof doctors, but only one that you should trust.
Our local roofer didn't spend 7 years in advanced roofing school to be called Mr. Roof. But the Roof Doctor, of course, wonders if your roof is under the weather, and they await your house call. Visit theroofdoctor.com to get a click on the button and get a free estimate. They'll come out and hang out with you, you know. And the thing about the Roof Doctor, they'll ask if you're okay, too.
Oh, yeah, they check in on you.
Yeah.
They're like, you doing all right, big guy? You know, watching too much news?
How do you feel about insurrections and protests lately? Yeah, you want to talk about the issues, buddy?
You're not just getting a roofer. You're getting a best friend.
Yeah.
A future pallbearer.
Give him a call at 360-736-0246 or 360-623-7094. Sirens banger of the week.
How did I know that you would select the sirens item that involved indecent exposure?
Well, you were just...
Because I have a full update on the indecent exposure on
the
news side.
Is it the same guy?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's the same guy. Got in sirens. As you know, we are still suffering from the loss of our esteemed assistant editor and crime reporter, Emily Fitzgerald. So it took me until today to write this one up, but I got it on Cronline earlier.
So... Trevor K. Durham, 33 years old, of Squim, was arrested June 12th on Harrison Avenue. He allegedly exposed himself to a victim as they drove by from Squim, huh? Yeah. Typical peninsula trash coming down to my city and waving his dick around.
Also, it wasn't that. He was not waving his dick around, Aaron.
Oh, right. You explained that.
A different kind. Yeah, and the update...
Going into detail.
On June 12th, a Centralia police officer responded, this is the parking lot between Dutch Brothers and AutoZone. Woman told officers she was driving in the parking lot when she saw a man, later identified as Durham, standing with his pants down. And this is a quote from the affidavit of probable cause. The woman stated the male looked at her, turned around, and spread his butt cheeks apart, exposing his anus. And it rose to a small news item just because this guy has two previous convictions for indecent exposure and one pending charge of indecent exposure. The pending charge is out of Cowlitz County. He's got a conviction out of Cowlitz County and then another indecent exposure conviction out of Clallam County, which is where Squim is. He's being held on $20,000 bond.
Oh,
bail.
Guy shows his ass like that. I'm surprised he's not running for office. You know what I mean?
Hit the soundboard.
And then the other one I have, a caller on June 11th said an elderly neighbor had been, quote, smoking marijuana in her unit all day. Shout out to whoever reported my co-host.
Burn. I knew that would get selected as well. Also, that was the whole police report, was just this person calling, complaining that their elderly neighbor was, you know, relaxing a little bit, chilling.
Yeah, let her toke up. Who gives a shit?
It's legal in these United States. Yeah. Well, no, not these United States. In this particular state, among the United States, it's legal.
Yeah, this is, you know what? Yeah.
What would the cops have done if they had shown up? Ma'am, are you smoking marijuana in your own home?
She'd been like, why don't you get the hell out of my own home? Yeah. Shales Outfitters.
What do we got going on at Shales
Outfitters?
We got
their 4-year anniversary sale coming up this weekend.
We do. Let me pull up the details on that. I just scheduled a Facebook post.
I think the Father's Day sale is still going, too.
Yeah.
Now through June 25th. But let's see that 4-year anniversary.
That is this Saturday, that is this Saturday, right? June 21st, yeah. That's this Saturday.
Yep, Saturday.
10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's at the store located 1757 North National Avenue in Chehalis. So this is the 4-year anniversary since they transitioned from Sunbirds to Chehalis Outfitters.
Uh-huh.
Attendees can celebrate with live demonstrations, brand representatives on site to answer questions, and thousands of dollars in giveaways. There will be free samples, popcorn, and cake. Also, free hot dogs will be given to the first 300 customers or the first 150 that require two hot dogs.
Yeah, the first hungry men.
There are 300 hot dogs, however they get divvied up. Local food trucks, including Steve's Wicked Kettle, Corn, Duke's, Two Brunettes, and Kona Ice will be on hand. There will be a radio broadcast there. And the kids' fishing pond will be open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on June 21st and June 22nd. And kids can enter to win prizes while they're there.
All right. Sounds awesome. Facebook comments of the week. I only have one on a post about, I don't know, I assume one of the protests. The Chronicle has proven time and again it hates Lewis County, its communities, and its residents for being American. They would rather support illegals, Antifa, and their anti-American agenda. Time to remove their reporters from our community events, starting with sports. Let me see your vehicle in our school lots, and I'll flatten your tires. Call me Rag.
Yeah, I saw that. It was sent by a few different people. It's that's probably like top of the line as far as most threatening that we generally get. Like, a lot of them are just insults, and that's fine. But yeah, I did have to put out a notice to our sports crew. So we're going to have to start wearing, you know, driving Olympian stuff. Yeah. How could I disguise their cars to where Cooper, I believe his name was on Facebook.
Yes.
What should we dress them up as? Just put like Gadsden flags on the sides or?
Just tell them to wear ice jackets, I guess. I'm sure Cooper would probably hug them to death.
Fair enough. I had a submitted comment of the week from, I don't know if the person wants me to say who it was from, but it was on Julius Hamilton signed story. Or commentary, I should say, and the commenter says, it's only fitting that the family that kept that embarrassment of a sign going gets offended by it somehow. Nature is healing.
That's pretty good.
I thought you would like it. Appreciate it. It's the only comment that I have. God, yeah, the one about the time. Well, what's your thinking of, like, I disagree with this one piece of coverage you have provided, and thus I wish to attack the one section of your operation that has nothing to do with the news side whatsoever.
I mean, I'm sure this guy is not allowed around schools.
Probably not.
I can't imagine my brain being that broken that, like, obviously he doesn't actually read the paper.
Yeah. Like that was also on Julie's column as well. It was just because of the Hamilton sign take.
Jesus Christ. I don't think he's a life guy. There. I don't know. I'm sure he'll be arrested for something before long. So,
well, leave our just gentle, docile sports team alone.
Yeah, they're...
They don't mean nobody no harm.
Yeah, I can't imagine being like, oh, cover, you're a cover game, huh? You commies. Like, what are you talking about?
It just didn't make sense to me. I didn't understand.
They hate Lewis County. That's why they spend all their free time driving to and from games to cover 2B high school softball.
Hey, it's important.
It is. I agree. I don't think it's like, it, I don't know, move to somewhere else then, man. Yeah. Anything else you want to add?
No.
In closing, we're sponsored by Summit Funding, Shields Outfitters, and The Roof Doctor. Leave a review and rating on Apple Podcasts if you want. Or send us an email at chroniclenewsdump@gmail.com.